Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here today. Thank you for that singing. That was a rich blessing to me. Today, the world is celebrating Father's Day, and that's not my topic, but I just want to thank all of you fathers for the tremendous role you play in the home, and I want to thank you, Dad, for the rich blessing you've been in my life. There's a lot of effort that you all put into leading the homes in a godly way. I want to thank you for that. This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about God's care for His people. And I'm not even going to scratch the surface on that, but just a little bit of, I was reading my devotions, and just a few things that I read there. Yesterday, I read Psalm 78 in my devotions, and this is where a lot of the thoughts are going to come from. In this chapter, the psalmist talks about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter because of the length of it. So I'm just going to be taking portions of it. A few portions. I'm going to start with reading Psalm 78, 51 to 54. This is just showing His love for His people. And He smote the firstborn in Egypt, and the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham. But God made His own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them on safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and He brought them to the border of His sanctuary, even to His mountain, which His right hand had purchased. This chapter is full of examples of what God did for His people. There's a lot of examples in this chapter of that, and this is just one example that stood out to me in how He just led them out of Egypt and into the promised land. I'm going to start now by reading verse 1 to 38. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap in the daytime. Also He led them led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depth. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this, and his wrath, and was wroth. And so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. Though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and it rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He raised flesh also upon them as the dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp and round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, and he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God was their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. What we see here in these verses is that the children of Israel, they'd come grumbling to Moses about what God was not, what they didn't have, or God was and what they wanted, and instead of coming to God and asking him for it, they just grumbled to Moses. And then God would provide them something, and they never thanked him for it. There was no sense of appreciation for what God did for them, and I find that often happening in my own life. I ask God for something, or I don't ask God for something because I don't feel an attitude of I can either do it myself or then not really depending on God for what I need. They had what I would call a pessimistic view of God and didn't really trust him. I find this creeping in my life sometimes, and I want to be careful with that. An example of that is a little story. It happened to me several years ago, and it's to my shame. One day, I was at the store, and I was grinding hamburger, and my grinder did not want to function properly. It would mush up the hamburger versus actually grinding. And when that happens, you just have to disassemble the grinder and spray out the plate, which it has all the holes in it, and put it back in and try again. Well, after four or five times of that, I I was pretty discouraged. I wasn't sure what was wrong. It was just wasn't working right. And so I thought to myself, well, I'd pray if that would help, but that's not going to help. And I don't know why, but I flipped on that grinder and it worked. And it's very shameful to me. God is there and He wants to help us. He's there for His children. And that was a very, very important lesson I learned then. He wants to be there, and or He is there, and He wants to help us when we need help. God would have been more than happy to give the children of Israel the things they needed. The next thing I want to look at is, how do I receive the things God has given to me? And that's 29-33. So they did eat and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire, and they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. In these verses we see that the things God gave them, they used to satisfy their own lust. We see this happen all the time in the world around us. And for an example, just one I chose is obesity. There are many people we meet that simply don't take control of their appetites. And I'm often included in that. And you see it often in the people that they don't control their desires. They eat till their heart's content, and they don't control their desires. God has given us things, and He also has given us the sense to use them. We should be wise stewards of the things He gives us. Other examples of this are time and money. We need to be careful on how we use them. The question is not how much do I give to God, but how much of God's resources do I keep for myself? And that's, yeah. It is God's delight when His children come to Him with their petitions. Matthew 6:24-34. I'll read them verses. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet what you shall put on. Is not your life more than meat, and your body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven. Shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we often read these verses and then wonder why we have hard times. And I think it's God gives us what is best for us. One songwriter said, His love withholds us nothing, his wisdom deemeth good. And I think that's a very true statement. We as God's people often get a little bit mixed up when it comes to having all we want and the cross. I think often when we don't have all we want, we're wondering what's wrong. And God wants us to take up our cross, and it's because of His love that He doesn't give us everything we want. Just an example of God's love for us. I'm going to read one of my favorite verses, John 17, verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This verse has always been a real challenge to me, because in this verse Jesus is saying that praying that we might know that God loves us as much as He loves His Son, and that's I can't fathom that, but it's and He is praying that just before He is. Before Jesus is going to the cross, He's praying this prayer. And often we get that a little mixed up, but Jesus is the cross was right before Him, and yet He could still pray that about the Father's love for Him. And if you read that chapter, there's a lot in there about how much of God you can see a lot of God's love for Jesus and His love for us as well. And He prayed that right before the cross, and I think that's should be a reminder to us that just because we are suffering or something, that God still loves us and He's doing it for our good. One last point here, going back to Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8. And we will not hide them from their children, showing unto the generation to come the praise of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob, And he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. These verses are talking about passing on the faith to their children, and I don't feel qualified to speak on these verses. But the question is, how are we passing on to the future generations the faith that we have? For me personally, one of the greatest motivators is watching my dad. He has given me plenty of reason to want to follow in his steps. I want to encourage you, fathers. Your children, on average, are not going to be following God with more zeal and passion than you are. What are their souls worth to you? What are you teaching them? It has built a lot of faith and trust listening to my dad talk about his experiences and faith in other areas. And I just want to encourage you in that. That is all I have. Thank you.